Mr. Speaker.
Order. Questions for oral answer, Mr. Patrick Tay.
Question one.
Mr. Speaker, may I have your permission to take questions number 1 to 5 on today's order paper, please?
Go ahead.
Sir, to help Singaporeans develop to their full potential throughout life, SkillsFuture Singapore provides a range of broad-based training support that is kept affordable and accessible. Industry-relevant training programs are subsidized at up to 70% of the course fees for all Singaporeans. And at age 25, Singaporeans receive $500 in SkillsFuture credit, which they can use to develop their skills and interests. For Singaporeans that are 40 years and above, they can also use the SkillsFuture Level Up program, the SFLP. This program helps them pursue a substantive skills reboot and helps them to stay competitive in a rapidly changing economy. We are prioritizing support for mid-career Singaporeans, as they may face a higher risk of skills obsolescence, having completed their original work-ready qualifications many years prior. At this stage in life, given their heavy family and work responsibilities, they also face a higher opportunity cost in pursuing upskilling and reskilling, particularly when they take up substantive courses that require greater time and financial commitment. If they choose to pursue substantive training, the SkillsFuture Level Up program helps them to lower the opportunity cost in two ways. First, by providing further course fee support in the form of the SkillsFuture Credit Mid-Career Top-Up of $4,000. Introduced in May 2004, individuals can use this credit to further offset out-of-pocket training costs. This is over and above the course fee subsidies of up to 90%. Second, we provide financial support for those pursuing longer substantive training, such as full qualifications. The SkillsFuture Mid-Career Training Allowance helps to partially offset income loss during full-time training. From the 1st of May 2025, eligible individuals can receive a training allowance sized at 50% of their average income over the last 12 months, up to a cap of $3,000 per month for 24 months in their lifetime. Today, the SkillsFuture Credit Mid-Career Top-Up can be used for over 7,000 courses, of which about 700 full-time training programs qualify for the training allowance. The SkillsFuture Level Up courses are carefully curated to support substantive training with the aim of improving a person's employability. They include full qualifications offered by the Institutes of Higher Learning. These programs provide good upgrading pathways that continue to enjoy good wage premiums, as our studies have shown. Individuals looking to transition into another sector can consider the SkillsFuture Career Transition programs that provide training for up to 12 months, as well as employment facilitation. Between June 2022, when the program started, and December 2024, about 55% of almost 4,300 SkillsFuture Career Transition Program trainees who were previously unemployed found new jobs within 6 months of their course completion. As of July 2025, there are about 330 SkillsFuture Career Transition Programs offered in 21 sectors with good hiring opportunities such as information and communications, professional services, and food services. The take-up of the Level Up program has been positive. In the first year of implementation, from the 1st of May 2024 to 30th of April 2025, over 36,000 Singapore citizens used their SkillsFuture credit mid-career with claims amounting to over $24 million. From the claims data, the number of individuals taking SkillsFuture career transition programs increased by about 6 times, from around 1,500 to 8,500, compared to the same period in the preceding year. And those who use the SkillsFuture credit for full qualifications increased by about 2.5 times, from about 3,000 to around 7,000. Within the first 3 months of implementation, over 3,200 Singapore citizens have been successful in their training allowance applications for full-time long-form training, with over $30 million in claims committed as at end July 2025. To build on this momentum, we will expand the Level Up program in the following ways for the immediate term. First, as announced at Budget 2025, we will expand the training allowance to part-time long-form training from early next year to support mid-career Singaporeans who choose to pursue such training while continuing to work. This is estimated to benefit 10,000 Singaporeans annually. Second, we will continue to refresh and expand the number of IHL full qualifications and stackable micro-credentials, as well as the SkillsFuture career transition programs to meet emerging skills needs. For example, over 100 SkillsFuture career transition programs were launched this year in high-demand areas such as artificial intelligence. And third, we will work with sector agencies and industry partners to include more courses offered by industry leaders and private training providers that are well-recognized by industry and confer credentials that lead to strong employment outcomes. We will continue to monitor the training needs of adult learners over their life stages as we expand the SkillsFuture Level Up program. In particular, let me respond to 2 suggestions that members have raised. The first suggestion on extending the Level Up program to younger Singaporeans. For now, younger Singaporeans in their 30s can continue to benefit from the broad-based training support that I mentioned earlier. This includes subsidies of up to 70% of course fees for all Singaporeans. Additional support will be given to lower-wage workers in their 30s. Earlier this year, the Ministry of Manpower announced the Workfare Skills Support Level Up program to better support these workers in upgrading to full qualifications that can uplift their wages. From early 2026, lower-wage workers in their 30s will receive monthly training allowance when they pursue eligible long-form training similar to the SkillsFuture Level Up program. The second suggestion is to extend the training allowance to postgraduate programs. Today, the training allowance supports mid-career substantive training up to and including the undergraduate degree level. Mid-career Singaporeans can use their SkillsFuture credit mid-career of $4,000 to offset the out-of-pocket training fees for postgraduate master's programs offered by the autonomous universities. We have not extended the training allowance to postgraduate programs, as most jobs in Singapore do not require such qualifications. And we are also careful not to inadvertently perpetuate a paper chase at the master's level. Individuals need to decide about the need for an investment in a master's degree. It is potentially a higher cost, and it has a potentially higher return. However, this applies to a small number of jobs in Singapore. We will continue to monitor the needs for postgraduate upgrading in emerging sectors and potentially adjust our level of support accordingly. We welcome feedback, and we will continue to monitor the employment outcomes from the increased training take-up. The success of the SkillsFuture Level Up program ultimately must be measured by how confident mid-career Singaporeans are in using these newly acquired skills to navigate the disruptions in the economy ahead. And the outcomes cannot just be measured by employment alone, since training alone cannot guarantee jobs and may not lead to immediate employment gains. To help our people succeed, we need to continue strengthening the whole-of-society partnerships between government, individuals, unions, industry, and training institutions to build a culture of lifelong learning so Singaporeans can stay resilient, employable, and competitive. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Patrick Day.
Mr. Speaker, sir, I just have one SQ, and thanks, SMS, for the response. In Singapore, SkillsFuture is divided into 2 broad aspects, the employer-supported as well as the individual-initiated support. And if you look at resident training participation, particularly last year, 2024, has dropped to a 9-year low of 40.7% compared to about 49.9% in 2021. And you know, my question to SMS is, what can we do, what can employers do more? And how can we get them to better support, both from an employer-supported aspect as well as the individual-initiated training as we embrace Skills Future in the next lab?
SMS Channel.
Mr. Speaker, I thank Mr. Patrick Tay for his question. Indeed, we would ask for employers to do more to support our Skills Future movement. Overall, it hasn't been bad. If you look at the proportion of training places taken up under Skills Future, about 43 to 45% are employer supported, which means that the learner, the worker, isn't actually paying out of their Skills Future credit. And overall, if you take a look over the last 10 years, the numbers have indeed increased. We've seen an increase in the number of employers that are involved and an increase in the number of training places supported by employers. But as the overall number of training places has increased, the proportion has remained relatively static. And we think there is room for the proportion to increase and for employers to do more. There is also a benefit for the system and our movement if employers can do more. Because if they are sending their workers for training, it means that they have recognized and are signaling the importance of such skills upgrading for their business and for their industry. It means that their workers and the learners under Skills Future have the assurance that these are industry relevant and are going to help them progress in their career. And it helps to then embed this culture of lifelong learning as part of adult work. Some of it is about the business decisions and the sense of investment in their people. And some of it is also looking at the processes within their companies in terms of reducing the frictions to allow people to then go for training, have the work covered, and think about the job transformation that will allow the embedding of lifelong learning as part of the career. So I think there's room for the employers to do more. Some of it is about decisions in terms of the return of investment that they will have, and some of it is about reducing the frictions for their workers as learners and in pursuing lifelong learning.
Mr. Henry Quek.
Speaker, I have a question ask you for the SMS about what are the learnings we have, given the fact that this is a new program and is attracting a different group of Singaporeans. I noted in particular the statistic of around more than 50% of people who are able to get a job after this training. What happens to, is there any preliminary sense of what happens to the rest? I'm asking because these group are particularly motivated people. They have a full-time job and then they transit, they reach TAFE train, and therefore they should be logically able to get switch field because they're highly motivated and are employable. And therefore, are there any lessons that we can learn or preliminary conclusions, especially with regards to matching the aspirations and qualifications of the trainees with the future industry needs? Yeah, thank you.
SMS Channel.
Sir, I thank Mr. Quek for the question. It's an important issue, but it's a little bit preliminary. It's a little bit premature. The program is not very old. And some of the types of gains that he's talking about will indeed take years to be realized. You transition into a new industry or even stay within the industry, but now with a new set of qualifications. I mean, although you have the qualifications, you now have to apply it to the job, develop your career prospects within this new role and this new task. And it can take some time for this to be realized in a metric that we can measure and we can perhaps present to the House. So in the short term, some of the things that we have learned are about the need to have better matching and better integration between the curricula and the services of the training providers and the needs of industry, and to look to see how we can bring the employers, in particular large employers, those that we think of as Skills Future developers or queen bees, together with the trade associations, have them either participate in the training or inform the training providers about the curricula, the job roles, and the particular skills and tasks that the learners are engaged in. And the better we can do that, the more confidence the employers will have in the approach that we're taking, and hence the more confidence that the workers and learners will have in dealing with the opportunity cost that is very real for someone undergoing training. So those are some of the short-term lessons. I think the issues that he has highlighted are indeed important, but it's a little bit early to be having a definitive comment on that.
Dr. Hamid Razak.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to thank SMS for the detailed reply. I understand and appreciate the reasons why 40 was used as an age cutoff for the SkillsFuture mid-career training allowance. I'm just wondering whether the Ministry has data on the appeals put into the Ministry for those aged 40 and below for the SkillsFuture mid-career training allowance, because studying those data may teach us or show us how better we can support that age group beyond just SkillsFuture itself.
SMS channel.
Sir, I thank Dr. Hamid Razak for the question. Indeed, the decision to think of the age cutoff at 40 is informed by data. Not so much on the data that we have on appeals. I don't have the direct data about appeals received or granted, and perhaps the member can return with a further question if that's the focus. But the data that informs us about the age cutoff is about the risks of a given individual becoming unemployed and the length of time taken for that individual to then go back into the workforce and find a job. And we can see that those in their 40s have a higher risk of becoming unemployed, potentially because of skills obsolescence, and take longer to then go back into the workforce and to find employment as compared to people in their 20s and 30s. And so for that reason, we have chosen the cutoff for that particular tier to be at 40. But I just want to take the opportunity to emphasize it does not mean that anybody under the age of 30 does not have assistance. There is the subsidies that are available to all Singaporeans at 70%, potentially rising to 90% if it's employer-driven. There's the SkillsFuture credits that are available to everybody above the age of 25, and the moves that we're making to support lower-wage workers that are above the age of 30 that are coming and have already been announced. I would also point out that there are plenty of training opportunities available to Singaporeans of all ages that are not under SkillsFuture. And these are many organizations make training opportunities available. And the public sector is one, for example, that provides training through the Civil Service College. And so public sector officers don't have to use their SkillsFuture credits in order then to develop new opportunities through training. And there are many other employers that are doing something similar.
Mr. Kenneth Teo.
Thank the SMS for his reply. So I have two SQs. First is about the age cutoff. The government's own data of the labor force survey findings of 2024 show that there's a drop in training participation, falling fastest in the age 30 to 39 from 49.5% to 44.7%. So my first SQ is, does that not suggest that the age 30 to 39 should be a subject of greater help, particularly for the SkillsFuture level up program? And second question is regards to the clause restricting the mid-career training allowance to undergraduate qualifications. So on Monday, DPM Gan said there were five growth areas: precision medicine, AI, green economy, autonomous vehicles, space. And there's a strong R&D and reskilling component for all of these industries. Now, for those that have reliable data that I've managed to find, most of the R&D jobs, 90 to 100% of them, do require postgraduate degrees. And generally in the industry, it appears that 30 to 40% of them, of the jobs in that industry, do require postgraduate degrees. So I'll just ask the SMS, does he not agree that the clause restricting the postgraduate qualifications does not really align with the spirit of MTI's future strategy?
SMS channel.
Mr. Speaker, I thank Mr. Cheong for the two questions. For his first one, the age cutoff and the training participation, so I think we shouldn't take the view that what we must strive for is for everyone to use up their SkillsFuture credit as soon as possible and to engage in training as soon as possible. The idea is to make sure that there is an assurance that at any time of your career, over the course of your life, you will have the opportunity to reskill should there be a need. And so if there is no need, you are within a career, you are developing your professional skill sets, there's opportunity ahead of you, then that may be the right thing for you to do rather than using a SkillsFuture credit or going up for a course or a certification. We do want you to sort of get into the culture of lifelong learning, and so perhaps if there is an interest, a small course, please do so. But I think we shouldn't necessarily see the data in a negative light. It may well be that that category of people do not need to utilize the SkillsFuture credit in quite the same way and may need to do so at a future point in their career, which is its purpose. The second point, in terms of the postgraduate support, as I've explained, we are open to considering if there is a need, and the issue is whether today the supply of people with appropriate qualifications in order to drive the development of those areas is constrained by the type of training that's provided, and does not appear to be a direct indication at this point in time. We also don't want, as we're developing these programs, to create a paper chase. Certainly we don't want people to go and chase after postgraduate qualifications if they're not going to result in outcomes for that individual which are useful to that individual. So I think we've started this. We will learn from the lessons as we implement it, and should the need be there, we can always consider it again. But at the moment, as I've explained in my original answer, it's not that there are no postgraduate qualifications that are supported. It is specifically the training allowance that is not applied, but the SkillsFuture credit can be used for master's programs at our autonomous universities, and those master's programs indeed do support the various niche areas that Mr. Tiong highlighted in his supplementary question.
Last SQ, Mr. Vikram Nair.
Thank you. I thank the SMS, especially for the explanation of the Mid-Career Skills Future Grant. The first part of my question actually was about the utilization of Skills Future credits generally, because I think the middle of this year, there's a report that said 70% of eligible households have not used the one-off $500 top-up for Skills Future, which is set to expire at the end of this year. So taking the SMS's point that Skills Future is meant for the long term, does the SMS see this as a problem, and is this something for which, say, the expiry should be extended, or something for which we should encourage people to utilize it more quickly? Thank you.
SMS General.
So I thank Mr. Nair for highlighting the expiry of the $500 SkillsFuture top-up that we have benefited from. I would encourage all members of this House, who I'm sure are in the eligible age group, please do use up your expiring credits by the end of the year. Many, many courses are eligible for that subsidy. But that's not the end of the SkillsFuture credit, and there's the additional $500 and then the $4,000 that's available for the long term, which does not expire. And we do want to encourage people to take a few courses, and some of the courses you don't need to use very much of your SkillsFuture credit. Get into the habit of understanding what does lifelong learning look like. What does it mean to take a course while you are working, if you haven't done something like this before? And in terms of the overall utilization, we do see a spread of individuals about 30% in their 40s, 30% of their 50s, and 30% in their 60s, which then highlights that actually this is about giving assurance that at any point during the career, if you should need a reboot, an opportunity to develop a new set of skills, there will be support and that opportunity created through the SkillsFuture movement. So in general, over most of the SkillsFuture credits, there is no rush, and you can sort of start to sample and set yourself up for the future. But for one particular tranche, I would encourage all members, and also as you go and visit your constituents, to remind them that this $500 of Skills Future credits expiring by the 31st of December in 2025, worth having your first taste of what it feels like to do lifelong learning and make use of those credits to do a course.
Indeed, thank you for the reminder. I must remind myself and my constituents this weekend.